Our sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 19 this morning. So if you're able, I'd ask that you please rise again for the hearing of God's holy word, and we read from the Gospel of St. Luke in Jesus' holy name. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth, and we pray that you would sanctify us by that truth. Lord, as we now encounter your word in the Gospel of Luke, I pray that you would show us our sin, where we have fallen short of your glory. Lord, bring us to repentance. God, also I pray that you would show us Christ, or that you would give us Jesus. Show us his finished work for us, which is enough even for our sins. By your word, strengthen us for your service, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our opening hymn for this morning was "O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." And in it, we praised God for many things. But most importantly, we praised God for the redemption that comes through the blood of Christ Jesus. When we close out our service today, just before we pray for the food of our potluck, we're going to sing the doxology, which begins, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." We're going to open our service praising our God. We're going to close our service praising our God for his goodness and his grace and his mercy. And to open and close our service in this way makes complete and total sense, because we know that every good thing we have is a gift from God. James tells us in the first chapter of his epistle that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is the source of all good things, and he is rightly deserving of all the praise that we can muster and even more. In our sermon text for today, we also found someone praising God. It was the Samaritan leper who Jesus had cleansed. Just last week, when I should have been back but was in COVID quarantine, Leif preached a sermon about a Samaritan as well. And that passage was a surprising passage, because the Samaritan in that story should have been the bad guy and ended up being the good guy. And it's the same in this account. It's the despised and lowly Samaritan who returns and praises God in Christ for the healing of his flesh. Out of the 10 lepers who are cleansed, only one and only this Samaritan come back unafraid and filled with joy to praise Christ for his healing. What of the other 9? What of the rest of the lepers? Were they not happy to be cleansed? Were they not thankful that Jesus had cleansed them of the terrible affliction that had come upon them? Well, I can't imagine that they weren't joyful. I can't imagine that they weren't thankful for what Jesus did. Wouldn't you be filled with joy in a situation like that? In those days, leprosy was a death sentence. It was a sentence that would have separated them from their community and stopped them from worshiping their God corporately. From the day of their diagnosis until the day of their death, that was their lot. Unless, of course, God stepped in and miraculously cleaned them of their disease. Could you imagine being in that situation? I honestly can't imagine what it would be like to live as one of those lepers, separated from the community, separated from worship. You know, like I said in the children's message, I was in COVID quarantine, and it took 9 days before I started to go absolutely insane. I kept myself busy with projects for the first few days. I made Em a new bed. I did all kinds of cleaning. I got everything done that I could get done. I started working again from home. But by day 9, the cabin fever had completely set in, and I was climbing the walls. I was unmotivated to do anything important. It drove me absolutely nuts. But my little 2 weeks of quarantine is nothing compared to what these lepers had to experience for their entire lives. I can't imagine being separated from my family and my friends with no realistic hope of ever getting to spend time with them again. The life of a leper had to have been a life of despair. And so when Jesus came and he healed their bodies, they would have been set free from that suffering. They would have been given a new lease on life, a second chance. So all 10 of these people would have been extremely excited to have their lives back again, to get to rejoin their family and friends and rejoin worshiping God. They had to have been grateful. They had to have been thankful to Jesus for what he had been done. So why is it then that they didn't come back and thank him for the healing? Try to think about it in this way. Try to remember back to when you were a little kid. For some of us, it's a little bit more of a stretch than others, but I think we can all remember some of our childhood days. Did you ever have a toy or a thing that you just really wanted with all of you, you know, desired with your entire person, only like a child can do? Mine was a Nintendo 64, by the way. You wanted this thing, and you wanted it for your birthday, or you wanted it for Christmas, and you talked to your parents and family members all the time about what you wanted, and you begged and begged. And then as you approached the day, you hoped it was there, and with excitement, you went to whatever presents were there, and you opened them all, and you were disappointed at the cool things you got because they weren't the one thing that you needed. And then finally, you hit the one package that contained that thing you had been longing for. Did you guys have this experience? For me, it was a Christmas, like I said, with the Nintendo 64. It was the one thing I wanted. I didn't get it on Christmas Eve. I had to wait for Santa to bring it Christmas morning. That was more painful. But when I opened it up, I tore into it. I didn't say a word. I ran to my room. I hooked it up to the TV, and I was playing video games all day long. I didn't even say thank you or look at or remember that I had parents. I was too excited for the new thing that had come. You see, I think this is what's going on with these lepers. Let me try to illustrate it one other way. Back in 2004, I proposed to my wonderful wife, Gretchen. I was expecting some awes. Oh, thank you, thank you. In 2004, I got down on one knee and I held up the ring and I said, "Gretchen, would you marry me?" She reached down and she took the ring, and then for the next 10 minutes, she went, "Are you serious? Are you serious? Are you serious?" Eventually, I asked her again if she would marry me, and she eventually said yes, but she was so excited that I'd proposed, she totally forgot there was a question to answer. You see, these lepers, they had cried out to mercy for Jesus, and Jesus drew near them, and he showed mercy. But none of them returned to praise and thank him. They all should have. Absolutely, they should have. Jesus deserved praise simply for who he was, let alone this amazing healing that he had done. They'd all received this great and wonderful gift, and they should have come back, and they should have praised him. But I imagine they went running down the street, breathing in heavily, and saying, "Are you serious?" as they ran to the temple, right? Just so excited about what had been done, they completely forgot about the one who had given them this good gift. The lesson we should learn from this passage in the Gospel of Luke is very simple. The lesson we should learn is that we should behave like the one Samaritan leper and not like the 9 who forgot about Jesus. We should give thanks to God and praise him for his goodness and his grace and his mercy. We should do it in all situations. So I have to ask, how are we doing is that? How are you doing at that? Do you offer praise to God and thanks to Him in all circumstances? If I'm being honest with you, I have to say that I don't. Intellectually, I know that I should, but in actuality, I don't do it. Like the lepers in our sermon text today, many of my conversations with God, they sound more like pathetic complaints rather than prayers of praise and thanksgiving. When things are going great for me, oftentimes I forget that God is the giver of all good things, and I start to imagine that my good life has come from my hard work or me just being an awesome person. And so I don't praise God. And when things aren't going well for me, when life gets hard, when I'm suffering, I almost never think to myself, thank you, God, for the pain in my life. And the worse life seems to be going, the harder it can be for us to see and remember all that God has blessed us with. In fact, it's easier for us to blame God for our suffering than it is to remember the good He has given and praise Him for it. We understand what it means to praise God for everything we have. It's a simple concept. We even understand what it is and what it means to thank God for the bad things we don't have to suffer, like terrible sickness or bankruptcy or being the victims of terrible violence. We should give thanks to God for preserving us and sparing us from the terrible tragedies that can befall us in this fallen world. We should rightly thank God for those absences in our lives, but we should also be careful when we do so. Because when we do, we can easily go the way of the Pharisee from Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector and begin to sinfully praise God that we're not like terrible other people. It can be easy for us to slide from truly praising God for His grace and mercy and move into sinfully praising ourselves because we're better than other people. But there's another absence we should also praise God for. This absence seems a lot more foreign. What should we do when we ask God for something we really want and we don't get it? You see, we should praise God even in that absence. But how often do we praise God when He clearly says no to our requests? Have you ever met somebody that had bought a lottery ticket and didn't win? Did they go skipping down the street praising God that they didn't win the lottery? Have you ever heard anyone praising God for their failing health? Is it more difficult to get out of bed in the morning than it was when you were in your 20s? As you groan and are in pain moving, do you say, thank you, God, for this broken body? Have you ever heard anyone that just got diagnosed with cancer say, God, thank you that I have a tumor, that I need to go into chemo and radiation, and that I might lose my life? You see, these are praises that are never uttered by people. But is not our God still worthy of our thanks and praise, even in those moments? The psalmist in Psalm 100 tells us why we should give thanks to God no matter what comes. He records, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His steadfast love endures forever, His faithfulness to all generations. Why did the psalmist tell us to praise and give thanks to God in this passage? Is it because He made the wildest dreams of our heart come true? Was it because God hooked us up with everything we really wanted? No. The psalmist tells us to praise God simply for who God is, not because of what we can get out of Him. The psalmist tells us that God has eternally enduring love and never-ending faithfulness. That's why we should praise God. Because our Lord's love and mercy endure forever. They are eternal. But what does that mean? Well, take a look behind me. Look to the cross of our Lord. Because this is where God Himself declared victory. It is where Christ Himself said, "It is finished. There on the cross, he paid the price for the sins of mankind once and for all, even for the most vile sinner, and even for you and for me. This is the reason we can praise God no matter what comes, in the good times, in the bad times, in the suffering, or in happiness. We can praise God through it all and rightly give him thanks. Because here at the cross, we find our great reversal from death unto life. A reversal even greater than Jesus curing the lepers. Because we have been cleansed of our sin, we have been forgiven, we've been made new and given the hope of eternal life with our God. Look to the font. You see, here is where God brought this life-giving and death-reversing victory to you. Here is where he called you from darkness and into his marvelous light. You are no longer exiled from God in the deadliness of sin, but instead he has drawn near to you and made you his own. In his eternal and limitless love, he has called you and made you his own. In spite of all that you are, and not because of who you are, he has called you. And this isn't a one-time deal either, because your baptism and the gifts that are offered there are the beginning of a lifelong walk with our God where he continues to forgive and to cleanse you of sin. Look also to the table. Here we have the Lord's Supper, and here again is where your merciful and gracious Lord draws near to you. He kneels down from heaven in order to nourish you with his gracious medicine of immortality and peace that comes in his holy body and blood. The guilt and the shame and the sin, they're gone. Just think about what's going on here. The Lord of heaven and of earth comes to you. He comes to you in spite of you and for you. And here he is once again offering everything that Christ accomplished with his perfect life and his sacrificial death. He offers to forgive you all of your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to make you his child and bring you into eternal life. Is this not a reason why we should praise God and thank him no matter what comes? You see, Jesus lived the life we could not and did it in our place. He died the death that our sins had earned for us and paid the price for every last sin. And he continues to come, freely offering everything Jesus accomplished in word and sacrament, and he graciously gives them to us, his church. So now as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, come confessing your sins. Come confessing each and every time that you have not praised God as you should have. Each and every situation where you have not thanked God for his good and gracious gifts. Come to the table confessing that you are not worthy of the grace and mercy of your Lord, but also come trusting that he gives it there. That he offers the full forgiveness of your sins at that table. Because at that table, we are given the body and blood of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. And it is given and shed even for us for the forgiveness of our sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this account of Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers. It's a shadow of what would come on the cross. Lord, he brought them from death to life, and in the cross, you do the same for us. Lord, may our lives be marked with thanksgiving and praise like the Samaritan leper, and not like the other 9. Help us to see your goodness and grace no matter what comes, in the good times and in the bad, and to praise you through all of it. Ready our hearts to receive at your table. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.